Your power will pull us through. I selected that without consulting Stephanie, and several reasons. One, I love trains. The trains, the kids were filmed in Golden at the Colorado Railroad Museum. I can spot their rolling stock. The trains and the lakes were from Harry Potter. I don't know where exactly those were filmed, but. Your power will pull us through. Thank you, Paya, for finally getting everything caught up and for the internet, for syncing, and for having all those things work together. Melba read from the New Testament reading, the Gospel. She read Jesus' words, "Beware that no one lead you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and they will lead many astray." But what came to mind was remembering this scripture. It says, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. All of this is but the beginnings of the birth pangs. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." As I said, the news has been bad. Trying to find Winston Churchill in the middle of World War II, at the very lowest, Britain was being bombed. Things were going poorly. And he came to a national broadcast and he said, "Things are bad." I can't find that speech or the quotation. Please, if you find it, forward it to me. "Things are bad," he said. And that's what it feels like. I've been reflecting on the current events, the times that we're in, and I had to stop and remember, how many of you remember 1968? Now, some of you were not yet. But the majority of us can remember that AIDS was rampant, a terrible affliction upon the land. We were at war in Vietnam. There were assassinations. There were riots. The world was disintegrating massively. And God pulled us through. We survived that, and that is just within my memory. How many times has God pulled us through? So I have really good news, if you want to talk about news. I have really great news. I have awesome news. God is still God. God is still there, amen. God is above us, God is amongst us, and God will not be thwarted in human time. We have a champion to lead us. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Amen. Not only that, but the church is founded upon a rock, not upon sand that can be washed and eroded away, but a firm, solid church. It's changing. And those of us traditional pastors who are used to congregations and large gatherings and all of that are struggling to come to grips with this new presence online and virtual community and multimedia, but God is still with God's people in the church. Turn your eyes upon the Lord. That's not to say that it's not tough times now, and we need to acknowledge that. If I ever tell you, don't feel what you're feeling, call me to account. We feel what we feel. Feelings are our reaction to stimuli. They are what they are. If I am feeling sad, that's how I'm feeling. To help move me out of my sadness, there might be some help. But to say, don't feel sad, is to say, turn off your emotions, turn off your humanity. And that's not all right. the war that's launching in the Middle East is not new. It is horrific, and it is being, as I said, broadcast and videotaped and filmed graphically. And maybe that's a good thing to call us to account of things that we need to change in our world and change such events. That may be true, but that's hard. But conflicts, struggles are not new or unique. Melba read the New Testament epistle reading. Paul is writing a letter to the church in Philippi. Did you hear that? Did you read it? Did you follow along in your Bibles? There's two women there, Euodia and Syntyche. And he says, I urge them to be of the same mind. These two women, he's urging them to be of the same mind. Must have been a conflict. Must have been one of those church battles. We've never had any church conflicts, have we? You've never seen anything in a church that was controversial. Can I just pause and say, Ruby, it's good to see you. She's here in her wheelchair. Say hello. Always glad when you manage to come among us, and we're glad that you've gotten over a busted hip. And amen. You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for your spirit amongst us. So all of the, Paul is writing to these two women, Euodia and Syntyche. I don't see those names among any of the girls being named. It's not one of the top popular names. But these women in the church, apparently he knew them, he was aware, and they were having some kind of a struggle within the church of Philippi. And he urged them to be of like mind. By and large, when Paul wrote letters to his different churches, he was trying to help them through some kind of a struggle. They needed lots of nurturing, lots of shepherding, lots of help, lots of love. It isn't lack of struggle that defines us. It isn't even struggle that defines us. It is how we respond to those struggles that defines us. And that may be pivotal. We need to name the evil and atrocities that have occurred. We need to name those and call to account those who have perpetrated those evils. We need to pray for those who have been afflicted. And we need to grieve. We need to grieve, and we need to respond to how we feel about those things. We need to be honest with where we are and what we're about. But responding in anger, responding in vengeance, calling for revenge, none of those are how Christ teaches us to be. We do not want to lower ourselves to that same level of atrocities that we're experiencing. Is that what Jesus was talking about? Many will fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Pulling us through, God pulling us through. Think a moment about who we are as individuals, and think about how we are as a people. When we are attacked, we're hurt, we're afraid, we grieve, we weep, we seek vengeance, we seek revenge, we become angry. Unfortunately, in our society, it is acceptable to respond in anger, but never in tears. Think about that a moment. If you work in an office setting, something happens that is hard, it's okay to be angry about it. But a person who expresses their grief might be discounted. There's something wrong there, and we need to think about that and turn that around. But through all of it, Paul says, See that you are not alarmed. Jesus says, see that you are not alarmed. Alarmed may be a feeling, an emotion, a reaction. What Jesus is saying is, don't deny that you are reacting, but check your reactions. What are you going to do in response to the stimuli you've seen? Never respond with hatred. If someone attacks you, Jesus says, turn the other cheek. That's incredibly hard to hear and harder to do. But recall, if you will, that when Jesus came, he said, I didn't come to save the faithful, but those who have gone astray, the lost ones. I am here for all of those others. And that's the ones that Christ is seeking to redeem. So Jesus calls us to turn aside from hatred, from revenge, from grouping people together and condemning a group through the actions of a few. Therein lies the path to the Holocaust, and therein is evil. And accusing one group based on the actions of a few is false. Lay your fear upon the Lord. Know that God is still God, and God is always with us. Don't surrender. Don't become apathetic, and that's hard. One of the responses to everything going on, I wanted to turn off the news and move to a desert. I hear there's some good wide open spaces down in Arizona. I was just going to set myself a tent up down there and move. How many of you felt that way? They didn't have any internet or flush toilets, so it was out for me. But we want to escape from that, and we want to ignore it. And that apathy is not what Christ calls us to either. Here's Paul again. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, keep on doing these things that you have learned and that you have received. And the God of peace will be with you. Paul had it. He figured it out. He had been down these paths. He had lived through so much of this. And he helps us hear how the master teacher is leading us. When we are able to be there, then we are at peace. And then comes the next step. We need to become God's agents of calm in the roiling seas that are around us. There's a lot. And there's a lot of people reacting. There's a lot of people in pain. There's a lot of people in anger. And it's all right for them to feel. And it is for us to listen and to understand and keep them from turning to anger, to vengeance, to revenge, and to let them know that we have a just God. A God that knows the justice and knows everybody and knows who's guilty of what and when and where, and that there will be accountability. Maybe not immediately, not soon enough for many of us in our impatience, but no one will escape the accountability to our Lord God. And we can take comfort in that. We can take comfort in the fact that the Lord is with us. Was it last week or the week before that we talked about Jesus' parable about the landowner who sent his two sons out to work in the vineyard? He told the two sons, and the first one said, I will go, but he didn't go. And he told the second one, and the second one said, I'm not going out there to work. But then he did go and work. Which one of these, Jesus asked the question, which one of these did the will of his father? And that is the one who went and did the work. Did the will of the father who went out and cared for the vineyards. We are Christians, and that's what we're to be about. We are called to be about that work. We are called to be about that love and that ministry that comes through the Holy Spirit to us that we offer to all around us, and to be the agents of love. Keep on doing the work of the Master. The God of peace will be with you. Amen. Amen.